So what makes a day a hallelujah day? First of all, it's when we have an awareness that there are blessings at work, and when we have an awareness of the preciousness of life. Before the service, one person was saying, it's just so great to get up in the morning and to breathe and to feel the sunlight. There's a preciousness to life, and when we catch that, when we get that, then there's an aliveness that works in us. And another thing that makes a hallelujah day is a decision that we make to make a blessing. Not to wait for a blessing, not to wait for someone to give us a blessing, but to make a blessing in each moment. That's our gift. I did a memorial this week for the brother of one of the ladies of our church. And he was a bus driver like Bill Like was. And he had been working up in the Central Valley and came down to San Diego just about 4 months ago and was working for a bus company down here. And in those short four months, he made a big impact on the bus company down here. And, you know, because bus drivers are usually, you know, pretty, you know, gnarly guys. They have to drive the bus and deal with passengers and hike luggage around, all those kind of things. And here were these big, you know, gruff drivers who were bawling at the memory of this guy who'd been a part of them just for 4 months because of the gift that he had given, the way that he showed up. And, you know, because whenever the new guy comes along, first of all, they tease the heck out of him. And they don't quite trust them because they don't know who they are. But they said right away from first day on, this guy showed up and not only did his job, did it with joy, did it with a smile, did it with a way that made a difference for everybody. And so it was just amazing to hear these folks, these bus drivers, talk about the impact that this guy had made in their lives in just a few months. And that's the difference that each of us can have, and to recognize that that's what the real game of life is about. It's not about a big football game that happens. You know, the NFL has done a great job of marketing this game today, you know, because it's an event. It's almost like a religious event in our country. And there are billions of people around the world who watch it. And it's not just the game, it's the commercials, it's that whole thing that they've built it up. And to recognize that it's just a game. And what's really important, and for us to look at what's important and to understand that, because in one sense, we're all playing games all the time. One of the games that we play is we do something to see what somebody's reaction is going to be, right? We surprise them or make fun of them or tease them or some way just to see if we can get a rise out of them. That's one of the games that we play. But what if we played our game of life to make our life a work of art? Or as one songwriter said, a work of heart. What if that's the way that we played the game? What if we recognize that the most important thing in life is making a difference for other people? What if we recognize that the real game is doing good things in the world? And that's the way we lived. And so that's what our affirmation is about. I let God show me what is important. Let's say that together. I let God show me what is important. And so if we move through our life moment by moment looking for what is important and finding that for ourselves. One of our members showed me this cartoon recently. I don't know if you can see it up there. It's the United Church of OMG for Oh My God. And they've all got their iPhones. Yeah, they're all focused on that. And here they're surrounded by people and they're focused on their little machine. And so what is important? Again, we each have to decide. It's not that we want to do away with technology, but use technology to help support what the real game is in life. Our scripture today, and these come from the words of Jesus, and this is the way it's translated in the New International Version. It's a very traditional translation. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me, or for my sake, some of the translations say, will find it, or will save it, another translation. Digging into the Greek words, I find it interesting thing. The word that's translated as life, first of all, means breath. So here's one way that this could be translated. Indeed, see, there's that wonderful technology, yes. Indeed, if you choose to try to keep this breath or to hold your breath, you will lose it. But whoever loses his breath, if you keep releasing your breath, thinking of me, you will obtain yourself together. So think about this for a moment. When you try to hold your breath, eventually you're going to lose it, aren't you? You're going to have to let it go. Yeah. Even if we were a child, you know, holding our breath, you know, it's eventually we got to let it go. We trust that, you know, they're going to have to take another breath. But in another sense, how many times are we trying to hold on to something in life, afraid to let it go? when at some point we're going to have to let it go? What if we let it go with a sense of blessing? What if we let it go that this has been brought into my life as a gift of God and I release it as a gift of God? What if we made that kind of a change in our lives and recognized that if we choose to keep something out of fear or out of the sense that we need to have something all the time, what a difference is when we say, okay, here, I've got this, it's a blessing, and now I release it with joy, I release it with love, I release it with that sense that I'm connected to God. And with Jesus as our way shower, he's really teaching us with this idea of breath. You can't hold your breath forever. And he's saying to everything in life, you can't hold it forever, so why not be willing to let it go consciously so that as you let it go, it becomes something that is a blessing for ourselves in a greater way. You've probably all heard those emails that have gone around through the years, and many times near the end of it, they'll say something like this: life cannot be measured by how many breaths you take, but by how many moments that take your breath away. And so what if we chose to give our breath away consciously? What if we chose to let our breath be a vehicle for us to be in life, in this game of life, in a way that really makes a difference, that really does something for someone else? John Wesley, who was founder of the Methodist Church, put it this way: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. So don't hold back, but to give yourself in that way. And it's interesting how we sometimes, we sort of hold on to something because we're waiting for that better time or that better relationship or that better job, or we're waiting for something rather than giving it all. And I've had to learn through the years that is the same way, that sometimes I'll hear a good joke or a good story and I say, oh, I could save that, I could use that later on, realize that it fits into what I'm doing now, to use it right now, because this is the moment that I have. This is the moment that's important. And if I'm worried that I might not have enough later on, that sets up a consciousness of not having enough. That sets up a consciousness of fear rather than saying, look at the good that's here. I want to celebrate it and share it and let it expand, let it move out in life. And to realize that that's the way that we keep in that flow, is by always being willing to keep things moving, keep that power growing in release. And so with this day of a big game, a big sporting event, a phrase from another sport came to my mind, a fishing phrase of catch and release, as sort of the theme for how to do this. It sort of ties into that scripture that we have today of not holding on to our breath, but letting go. But I want to add a separate or a middle step to catch and release and to change it a little bit. So it's CPR is the phrase today. And it's going to be to capture, process, and release. So when we capture something, a thought, a feeling, an experience, to process it first, say, is this something that I need, or is this something that I need to let go? Is this something I need to make more of or make less of, and then move it out into life? And so the process part is to diminish or expand depending what it is. If I've got a thought that's a limiting thought, I want to let that go. I want to say, no, that's not important. I'm not going to give that energy. I'm not going to give that my attention. If it's a thought that's important, that's powerful, that'll make a difference for me or someone else, then I want to expand that and think about it and grow it and then put it into action. Let it go. It still needs to be released and put into action. Maybe there's a feeling that comes over me that I'm going, oh, gee, I was in such a good moment a moment ago, and now I'm just feeling, a little drained or something. So, well, what do I do with that feeling? Process that. Is it something, where's that coming from? Is it something that I need to pay attention to, or something that I can just ignore and move on with my life in a different way? Sometimes we'll pick up somebody else's energy. It's not even our stuff. If you ever do visiting in the hospital, you recognize that there's all kinds of energy in there that you don't want to connect with. And so if it somehow comes into your consciousness, you say, oh, this isn't mine. I'm letting it go. Or there may be a feeling that comes on, this feeling of peace or a feeling of joy or a feeling of that the things are just working in an orderly way. And you say, golly, I want to look at this. I want to process this. I want to say thanks for this. And again, want to release it and say, how do I make that be something that I'm sharing with others in life? So this is the process, to capture, process, and release. And just to show a little bit how it works, we have some neighbors who are vegetarians, and we invited them over for dinner Friday. So I went online, was looking for vegetarian menus, and one of the menus called for broth, and Meredith said, make sure you use vegetable broth, not chicken broth or beef broth. That sort of defeats the idea of having a vegetarian menu. And even when I got to the store, it was a Mexican dish, and we were having tortillas, and I picked up the first batch of tortillas, and on there it said, no lard. And I go, well, that's a good thing I picked these up first, because I would not have thought about that, you know, in tortillas, that we wanted to have a vegetarian meal. So again, there's when we're focused in that way, then God sort of works with us. And I sort of think this process part of it is sort of like being in a huddle with God. That in each moment, when you get an idea, you sort of say, all right, God, how is this working? Is this in alignment with what's important? If this is in alignment with what makes a difference in my life? And so that we keep our values in focus. We keep knowing what's important, because we all sort of have this competitive nature. And again, it's part of a survival instinct that we have. And it's important for us to recognize that that competitive nature can be focused when we make sure that the value system is right. I remember when our children were little and we'd have our boys play a game with Crystal, who was 6 years younger than her. And so we'd remind the boys, the object of this game is not for you to win. The object of this game is for you to keep your sister occupied for a period of time. And one of the outgrowths of that is that our daughter has never been afraid to compete with boys. Because, you know, she learned to stand up to them. She learned she could be successful with them because we created that for her. And so it's recognizing, making sure that when we're doing something, that when we have an experience that we're taking in, we've captured it, being clear in our process of what is this about, what's important, what makes a difference in this doing things. So we have the right concepts, the right goals in mind. It's not just about getting ahead, but it's about getting and giving a blessing. You know, not just about beating others, you know. I remember, you know, back years ago they talked about, you know, MAD, M-A-D, mutual assured destruction. It's like we need to build bigger and better bombs, and they're building bigger and better bombs. Does that really create what we want? And so to have that idea in our mind that we're holding on to, those values, and to be flexible as we prepare not just for this moment and instant gratification, but for creating something over the long range, over the long period of time. So when I think of CPR, I think of, you know, again, many ways that life is given to us. And, you know, one of the big parts of CPR is the breath, you know, making sure that the breath is working. And we had a healing service last week after second service, and we had wonderful stories that people told of healing experiences they had where they'd gone to the doctor, and the doctors had done x-rays and said, oh, you've got, you know, cancer here. And they said, we want to do some other tests. And so, you know, there were prayers in the meantime when they came back and did the MRI. I said, well, it looks like it's there. We better do a biopsy. They did the biopsy, and there wasn't any cancer. It still looked like cancer to the doctors, but it wasn't cancer. And so it's the recognition that there is, that we, when we have an experience that says, oh, it's this, for us to take that pause in the middle, that process time in the middle that says, what is this about? What can we do? What does God have in mind for this? Before we get all caught up in something, and then let go and move into the next experience and not hold on to this thing, oh, this is going to be hard, this is going to be difficult, this is going to be awful. But you say, no, there's something here that Spirit is moving through to bring a blessing in our lives. Also, after the healing service, I talked to a couple. They said that they had actually come not for the healing service. They thought it was the meditation practice, which is this week, was going to be last Sunday. And they decided to wait, you know, just while they were here, we might as well be this. And they said, we're so glad we came to the healing service, because there was an experience that they had that was a blessing for them, prayers that they did for some others that were renewing for them. So for each of us, there's an opportunity to say, okay, what's this experience? To capture it in our minds, say, what is this? And to look at it with that mind of God, that mind of Spirit, that mind of the Christ that says, you know, let go of this thinking of me, thinking of this blessing, thinking of the good that can come in it in life. So if we recognize that whatever's going on for us, there's an opportunity for us to see that there's an energy of blessing. There's wisdom, there's joy, there's peace that can come to us. And again, many times I find myself trying to save things that aren't productive because I've done it that way before. I'm comfortable with it. I'm familiar with that. And realizing that some things need to be blessed and released so that new good can come forward in life. And so as we keep our values, those spiritual values in our minds, looking at what's the real game that we want to play. And as in any game, in order to gain something, there's a risk that you have to take. You know, if it's in football, if you want to move the ball ahead, you've got to hand it to somebody or throw it to somebody else. You've got to take a risk in that moment, you know, in order to advance. And so it's the same thing in life. And so if we have something that we prefer, something that we want, what are we willing to do to create that? We have to risk. We have to risk taking time away from one activity and put it in another. We have to risk that someone may not support us. They may not like what we're doing or the change that we want to make. And so we have to say, what is it that I want, and what do I have to do to create it? And again, what is God guiding me to do as a part of this process? And when will I do it? When will I start? When will I begin to move ahead with that? And other questions like, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for to choose that to go ahead? So again, if we have this sense, again, with our affirmation that I let God show me what's important, you know, to use that breath, like we talked about last week, the first breath to let go, the second breath to get that idea of God, and then that third breath to move ahead, to put it into action. And so it's the same idea for this. It's like, here's this experience I'm going to capture. I'm going to be conscious of what my thoughts are moment by moment when I'm thinking thoughts about, you know, how difficult this is, and say, wait a minute, I don't need to think that way. I can think in a different way. I don't need to think about how difficult this person is or how, you know, how much I'd rather be doing something else. To capture those thoughts and to process them and then to release in a way that leads us into something greater in our lives. And so we can use this affirmation that we have in this way. We can add some modifiers to it. So say that you've decided that one of your values that God has for you to activate in life is love. You could take this affirmation, I let God show me what is important. We could modify it this way. I let God's love show me what is important. So that becomes the way that we process every thought, every experience, every encounter. I let God's love show me what's important because I know that that's what God has called me to be in this part of my experience of life. Maybe you're working on peace. That's the gift that God has given you to develop. And so I let God's peace show me what's important. So you hear somebody say something, or there's something on the news, or you hear a siren go by, or whatever it is, whatever that is, as you capture it in your awareness to say, okay, my process is to filter this through an awareness that God has called me to be peace. God has called me to extend peace, to share peace with the world. And so that's then your next step, your next word, your next action will be released with that sense that it's God's peace working in the world. Maybe it's joy. Maybe joy is the filter that you're working on. So I let God's joy show me what is important. And so here may be this situation that looks like a tragedy, that, you know, it's a death, you know. But if joy is what I've been called to do, how do I bring joy to the way that I face this or support someone as they go through that? And to recognize that that may be exactly the gift that someone needs. Because laughter is such a wonderful healing release. And when we are able to share that gift, then it can be something that's a blessing in our lives. So I invite you to think about what it is in your life that needs CPR right now. What situation, what circumstance, what relationship that you're dealing with that you look at and go, this is not the way I want it to be. And to say, so capture your thoughts, capture your feelings, capture the way that you've been interacting with that, and process it in a way to say, what needs to be diminished? What needs to be expanded? What do I need to just quit doing? And what do I need to really develop in a way that's going to be, for me, something that strengthens and heals and blesses me, and something that becomes a way for me to be in the world, to be in this situation, to be in this circumstance that brings a blessing, that brings a healing for others as well. If we just take that moment and recognize that there's nothing to hold on to except that awareness of the presence of God, and as we're giving that through those experiences, it makes all the difference in the world. So I said it, you know, because my mind is weird sometimes. And I was in the middle of working on this process, and here's the phrase, sort of the summation for me. In the middle of the piddle, I saw the real goal, sharing God's kingdom. So in the middle of that experience, whatever it is for you that's not the way you want, all of a sudden remember what is that you really want, that connection with God and that expression of God in your life. And the real game is to let God play through you. Let us pray. Dear God, we do give thanks to have that amazing awareness that your presence is always with us, and that there is a depth and a power and a joy and a life and an energy and a love and a peace that are dynamic experiences for us to lay hold of and to let work through us in life. We recognize that each breath is precious, that each breath is delicious, that each breath is an opportunity for us to realign ourselves with that presence of the Christ within, so that we may let it radiantly, joyously, and powerfully express through us. Thank you, God, for all the ways that you are at work. Thank you, God. Amen.